Well, if you know, if you, I know that all of you probably read the Wednesday email last Wednesday, and I've been keeping track of all the things that are coming up here at St. Patrick's. And one of the things that's coming up is that in a couple of weeks, I'm going to start a class on Tuesday nights talking about and studying the life of Moses. And I'm doing that because beginning today and extending for the next couple of months, on Sunday morning, we're going to be hearing the story of Moses from the words of Exodus. So we're going to be moving through there. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm glad, because otherwise I'd be just walking away from here. But the first verse in our passage today kind of connects us with what's happening in this story, and it helps us give a little bit of foundation. It is, "Now a king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph." Now this king, a pharaoh, when he came into power, decided that he was going to do some things to make himself known. He's going to try to build some national unity. And so he decided that he was going to look at, you know, these people that were kind of living around there, particularly the Hebrews. People had a different skin color, and they had different ancestors, and they practiced a different religion. And he pointed these people out and said that they shouldn't be around. And when they were around, they should be doing the work of the people who were from that region, the people who looked like the Pharaoh. And he had this thing going on, and the Hebrews were persecuted. But the other part of that sentence says, "who did not know Joseph." Now, if you remember, this is right at the beginning of the book of Exodus, and the last story in the book of Genesis, which is the preceding book, the first book of the Bible. In Genesis, those last stories about Joseph, who had brought his family to Egypt, had done some great things for the Pharaoh, had helped manage a famine, and the other family members had been welcomed in. And we're led to believe by this sentence that for 300, 400 years, they had lived in harmony in this land, working together to make the world a better place there. But when this Pharaoh came in, he changed that. He started to point out people and blame people for what was going wrong in their world. And he did that in order to provide some kind of unity within his country and to raise his popularity amongst his people. Now, I have to tell you that we've evolved over the past 3,000 years. We've done a lot of things. We've made a lot of differences in the world. We have been following the scripture, and we've been reading this scripture for all of these years. Jesus came during that time, and we've heard what Jesus said about these various things. If you look around the world, Confucius has been here, Buddha has been here, we've had Muhammad has been here, we've had teachers telling us all of these things happening. So as we've evolved over time, this would never happen again. Maybe not so much. This is the thing is, this story and this book of Exodus continues to speak to us because its themes make sense. The teaching that's at the heart of the book of Exodus, even though it's talking about events that happened prehistory, before things were written down and they were passed down in an oral tradition, even though it's that old, it's talking about human nature. And that's why the story is so powerful. The Pharaoh chose to stereotype people by what they look like, scapegoat them for practices that they had and the people that they were. And we do that today. Now it's easy to pick out some groups of people who do this, and we can see that they get a lot of attention. But the reality is that we all do this. We all have our little groups that we associate with, our allies, the people that are like us or look like us, and we get into those teams and we point fingers at other people. We do this. Now it's easy to point out the people on the other side, those other people. It's easy to point them out, but it's hard to see it in ourselves. And that's one of the things, as people of faith and people who are listening to this story of the book of Exodus, is to realize that we've got to look into our own hearts and find where we are doing those things. I want to point out, as the story continued and Yah stepped in and did a wonderful job reading, that there were some characters in there, and I'm going to point out a few things as the people who were the heroes in that story from the book of Exodus. First, we had Shifra and Puah. They were the midwives, and they had heard the decree from the Pharaoh that all of the boys should be killed, and they figured out a way that they could avoid that. They figured out a way. Then we had Moses' mother, who, after 3 months, prepared some kind of a basket and put some clay and stuff in there and made it shipworthy and put it onto the Nile River to save her son. And then we had the daughter of Pharaoh, who found this basket and knew it was one of the Hebrew boys, and yet figured out a way to save that baby. And then we had Miriam, who was Moses' sister, who was kind of peering through the reeds and saw the Pharaoh's daughter picked up and came up forward and said, "Oh, I can find a nurse for you. I can find a nurse for that baby. It'll be my mother," but she didn't put that on. She figured out a way to save Moses. All of those people were the women. All of them figured out a way. A lot of times, this was unlikely that the women would be taking the power in a patriarchal culture. They were the ones that were supposed to be doing exactly as they were told. They were the unlikely people. They were the people on the margins of society, and yet they found a way. When we face problems in our world, when we are persecuted, when we become the group that's being pointed at, it's often the people that are unlikely who make a difference. They're the ones that step forward. It's not the people who have the power. It's the people who are on the margins of our culture. So it's important to remember that as you hear this scripture, if you hear this story of Exodus, to remember that these women knew in their heart what was right. They knew it, and they figured out a way. And that leads me to the other scripture that we had today, the gospel story. This is a story that in Roman Catholic Church, is how they how they figured out their hierarchy. Peter was handed the metaphorical keys, and that has been passed down through the generations in the person of the Pope. So we have that. That's the story. But this story is, in my opinion, is not about that. The story is about how the disciples, who had been following Jesus for a long period of time, were asked the question, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" And they could answer that. Oh, the prophet and Elijah and Jeremiah, and they could list all the things other people said. But when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" they were quiet except for one person. One person knew from his heart who Jesus was. And he answered the question. He came forward. He had conviction. He knew who he was and what Jesus meant to him. As we step forward from both of these passages, it is about knowing in our heart what is right and good. It's about knowing what our foundation piece is and having conviction to step forward and do something about it. That's what these stories are about. So I call on you to think about that as you go out into this week. And remember that if you have conviction deep down, if you have a foundation piece, you know how to get it done. You can figure out a way to get things done. It's now a matter of showing that. Last week I talked about how powerful our words are. But speaking things leads to doing things, living things. And that's what these gospel lessons are about. As we continue to hear these stories from Matthew and hear what the Exodus story teaches us about making a difference in the world. So I call on you to think about those things and think about how you live your life every day. Not when it's convenient, but when it's necessary. And if you do that, you'll be living a Christian life, a life of faith. And you will be making a difference in everybody's life around you. And that is God's work.